we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in today. I believe it is 1 week until we have the privilege of voting in our primary elections. And so I hope that you are registered to vote. If you are not registered to vote, you need to get that way so that you are ready to vote in the general election later this year. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. And so, and I tell people, I don't tell people who I'm voting for. I don't believe that that is my place. It would be presumptuous on my part to try and do the Holy Spirit's job in your life. My privilege is to do the whole, is to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my heart. I believe that our vote is something that we have been entrusted with and stewarded with. And my thing, there are a lot of different people who vote for different reasons. They vote for one candidate because they've got the right letter in front of their name, and that's as far as they go. There are some people that they vote, and it's all about economic policy. There are other people that vote, it's all about security issues. I'm not minimizing those things, but I want you to know where I am. I vote Bible. I vote for the Word of God, and if you as a candidate are not going to support the biblical worldview that I see, then you aren't going to get my vote. And so that's what I tell people. You need to pray, you need to hear from God, and you need to walk out of that voting booth knowing that you and I are going to have to give an account for that. And so my job is not to encourage you or tell you who to vote for. My job is not to beat you up. My job is to prepare you and say, are you prepared to give an account and say, God, I voted for the person that that best looked like you to me. And somebody once said, you know, because I'd always looked at it and saw the kings of Israel. And by the way, you know, no matter which party you are a part of, what we have is, you know, we have term limits. And so president can only be in office for 8 years. There were some wicked kings in Israel that lasted for decades and decades and decades. And so, you know, sooner or later, your party will be in power. Sooner or later, your party will be out of power. And you need to keep your eyes on Jesus, no matter which one of those is the reality that you are living in. But when I saw wicked kings, I said, wow, it's amazing the amount of influence that the king had in turning the hearts of the people so quickly away from God and after idols. And then there was a person, they shared a slightly different perspective, and they said this: Israel and the nation of Judah, they always got the king that they deserved. And so I want to challenge you, the listeners of this broadcast, to be on your face, to be saying, if you're looking for revival in the land, then we need to be hearing from God. So we at Merritt Assembly of God, we're in a season of prayer. We're believing for kingdom growth. We're believing for new people to be saved. And so that's what we're believing for. So here today, we're going to continue our discussion on Keturah's son, Midian. By the way, that name means contentious. And so we found that in Genesis 25, the list of kids there. And so when you look up that word of Midian, he is described as the fourth child in verse number 2 of chapter 25. You see that Midian means contention or contentious. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 19, it is listed as one of the seven deadly sins, one who sows discord among brethren, one who sows discord among brethren. So we talked about that a lot yesterday. You know, people who are always fighting, but this is a person who is not only fighting for their own selves, but they are dividing relationships. They are causing strife and discord among brethren, relatives, people who shared the same upbringing and the same training, the same lineage. And there are people who will come in and try and be divisive, try and separate that. And so you and I, we know that God wants unity and Satan wants division. So today I want to take you to the book of Judges, because we need to recognize what is going on. These were the gifted sons. They had the appearance, and so they had influence, and so they would be able to bring these things out. But in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, I want to talk to you about some of the strategies that contentious people might use in your life. In Judges chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown," I want you to pay attention to that, "whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it." There's one of the primary purposes. They would enter the land to destroy it. "So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." And so that's where we're going to end the reading there. The interesting thing that I saw in this is that this strife and this discord would not come during times when things were going badly, but it would come during a time when the Midianites were preparing for harvest. And so as Merit Assembly of God is preparing our hearts, we fully expect that there is going to be attacks from the enemy. We know this, that Satan wants to keep people in darkness, and God wants people living in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there are some people who say, "Man, with all of this adversity that I am going through, I must be out of God's will." And my thing is, you might want to look at it, because the adversity may be coming because you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. The other day, it was about a week ago, I got a phone call. It was absolutely one of the most encouraging phone calls that I've had as a result of the Refresh Radio broadcast. And that's what this program is meant to do. It's meant to refresh you spiritually, refresh your faith. It's meant to refresh you with the Word of God and to challenge you, so that our relationship with Jesus is a growing, vibrant relationship, a healthy relationship, not a stagnant relationship. And this person described how they had been listeners of our program from day one, and I haven't even gone back to listen to that first broadcast. I'll be honest with you, that's got to be something to listen to. This person described how they had entered into a season of some of the worst adversity that they had ever faced. It was problems that had come up, not of their own making, but they were left to deal with the adversity. And I, to be honest with you, this series of messages that I'm doing here has been something I've been working towards for some time. But there had been a time I'd been not allowed to teach it at that point in time. It wasn't any man that wasn't allowing me to teach it. It just, whenever I would pray about it, it was just not the right time. And so this person called on the radio. They said, the message that you shared, and again, the phone call came in, you know, a week ago today. And as I communicated with them, they said, I missed the broadcast yesterday. And so I went back and listened to it. It was the word that I needed to hear. And it was about how we need to bring change into our life. If we are going to walk in covenant promises and covenant provision, we have to change. And this person said, I want to thank you for that word. And I wanted to celebrate this testimony with you. We have come through the season of adversity. It is in the rearview mirror. And we are just so thankful for the words that had come across the airwaves. Now, listen, this is not a family that attends our church. This is a ministry that is meant to impact the body of Christ throughout the community. And if you hear something good on here, I want you to go and share that with. I had a person, I preached a message a week ago Sunday. And I was talking to them, and they said, if it's okay with you, I'd like to preach that. And I said, brother, it was free when it came to me. It's free to you. And you know, just take it and run with it. The message is not supposed to be a one and done. It is a seed sown into people's hearts throughout the county. And you may be able to take what you hear on this broadcast and share it with people that do not listen to the radio. They don't live in Merritt Island, and I would never be able to touch. And so we've got some things that we're implementing at Merritt Assembly of God, you know, helping people to be more effective in ministry. I'll just say that some new things that we're going to try. It's to get people out there sharing the good news. Share whenever you hear a testimony. I have this expression. It really doesn't have a whole lot of spiritual connotation to it. But I say, if you hear a testimony, when I hear a testimony, this is what I do. I share the fool out of it. I mean, I share it liberally. I just want to go out and I want to tell everybody God is alive and he's moving and he's acting. And so whenever you hear a testimony, go out and share that word of life with someone. If you hear an encouraging or refreshing word, tell somebody about it, because we're here to grow the kingdom. God will take care of growing Merritt Assembly of God. He will give us the wisdom and the resources and the laborers, and we think that as far as laborers, that God is positioning us to be of greater effectiveness than we've ever been before. We're very thankful for that. But I'm not here for my ego. I'm not here for financial reasons. It's not that type of ministry. It is to strengthen the body of Christ. And so you don't need divisive people in your life. And so if you see, you know, people who are operating in their natural giftedness, but they're, you know, some of the ones we've talked about, if they're musically gifted, but that glory is coming to them instead of going to God, you might want to step back and allow God to bring about some maturity there. There's a commercial on, I don't know what type of little cheese cracker it is, but they talk about how they use mature cheese or aged cheese, and they demonstrate that by showing the cheese being in states of immaturity and acting like a teenager or an adolescent, and it checks off not ready yet, not ready yet. Well, you might see some people that are musically gifted, but if their character doesn't match up with their giftings, it's going to not go well. God wants us to be balanced in both of those areas of our life. So let's look here in Judges. What was happening was the children of Israel were preparing for harvest. They were sowing seeds, they were watering it, they were tilling the ground, and as the crop was beginning to grow, it says in verse number 3, so it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up and leave no sustenance for Israel. Whenever there was getting ready to be a harvest of food, whenever there was getting ready to be financial gain from investment that had been, the enemy would come along. And so I want to challenge you. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw up your hands in despair. God was getting ready to deal with the Midianites. This is where Gideon comes on the scene, and the Midianites are defeated. So I want to share that with you, because they kept coming over and over, year after year, and it got to be very discouraging. Because the enemy is a thief. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And so they would come, and the time that they would come is when they could impact the children of Israel economically, where they could impact their health. They could impact their food supply. It says that they would come and they would destroy the produce of the earth, and they would leave no sustenance for Israel. Sustenance means the food and the resources that are necessary to sustain life. You see, the enemy is, he doesn't mind you existing, but he doesn't want you living. He doesn't want you living abundantly. He doesn't want you living to the full. He doesn't mind you existing. He doesn't mind you being in a rut. He doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind you doing all of those things if you are not making any impact. He wants you. Let me go on down. It says here in verse number 6 that Israel was greatly impoverished. He wants you impoverished. You see, the borrower is servant to the lender. And so he doesn't want you in control of your own destiny. He wants to have the reins. And, I talked earlier about people who vote economically. And I just remind you again, in Genesis, when Joseph was giving counsel to Pharaoh on how are we going to survive 7 years of famine, when there are 7 years of plenty, they basically taxed the people on their own goods, kept those goods, and then sold those goods back to the people that had produced it in the first place. And as a result of that, they lost their land, they lost their tools. And it says that Joseph reduced the people to bondage. He reduced them to slaves. He impoverished them to the point that Joseph set the terms. Joseph operated in a lot of godly wisdom, but Pharaoh's kingdom really grew as a result of it. But, whenever somebody has been in bondage, once they get out, they tend to remember. By the way, I heard something the other day. It just made my day. And, I like to talk to people. I like to help to get them to laugh, but this person I was talking to, it was like, man, when I get to heaven, I don't want to remember any of this horrible stuff that we have gone through down here on earth. I just want to relish in the glory of God. And so I'm thankful we have that to look forward to. Let me show you a little bit of the strategy, because we've talked about their timing, that they would come with preparation of harvest. We've talked about the point of the attack was the produce and the sustenance. They would not leave sheep or ox or donkey, so they didn't leave any grain. They didn't leave any protein. They didn't leave any beasts of burden. They wanted to make Israel's life as hard as possible. And whenever strife and dissension comes in, the people who do that, they come in as oppressors to make your life miserable. And you and I, we don't need more misery in our life. We need more of the joy of the Lord. So it says in verse number 5, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. They would come in overwhelming numbers. It would be relentless. It would be wave after wave. They would bring themselves. They would bring everything that they would need to overwhelm the land. And so today, if you are listening, I know it's a Tuesday, but if you are listening to this right now and you have had attacks coming against you, one after another, after another, after another, I want you to know that I understand. My wife said this a couple of weeks ago. The past few years have not been without challenge, shall we say? And she said, I am tired of being the object of the devil's attacks. I'm tired of his attacks. And so we're stepping out in spiritual authority. We're stepping out in the Word of God, and we're believing that the strife, the discord, the oppression, the attacks of the enemy, all of that's going to come to an end, and there is going to be peace. There's going to be victory that is left in its wake. So the contention, these Midianites, these children of Keturah, they came in numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. To destroy it. Let me tell you, strife will destroy a community. It will not just destroy the food supply. It will not just destroy the tools. It will destroy a community. As I look around at America, I said this to someone recently, and I said, I have never seen America as divided as I have seen it in my lifetime. I have never seen America as divided as America is right now. And this person said, well, I don't know, the 1850s and the 1860s leading up to the Civil War, we were a pretty divided country. And I said, that's why I put in the caveat, in my lifetime. I wasn't alive in the 1850s. But here's what I say about this. Jesus says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It cannot stand. He didn't say, unless you're talking about a country. He said, any house divided against itself cannot stand. So that means whether it's in your home, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a government, whether it's in a country, wherever it is, if it's in a business, it doesn't matter. If there is division in the house, if there's strife and contention in the house, it's not going to stand. It is going to fall. Why do you think the enemy tries to sow so much strife and discord? Why do you think there is so many attacks against husbands and wives and against parents and their children and financial struggles and church struggles and all of that sort of? It's because he doesn't want it to stand. He does not want America to stand. And folks, there's no caveat, there's no loophole, there's no exemption that in the scripture that says, unless you're the United States of America. If we do not get on our face, if we do not hit our altars and hit our prayer closets and say, God, do whatever you need to do in me, that I am in one, I am one with your purpose and one with your will. And God, do whatever you need to do as, across our community, that there would not be strife and discord here, but there would be the unity of the Spirit and that there would be the bond of peace. That's what God says will cause a land to prosper and experience the commanded blessing of the Lord. Verse number 6, so Israel was greatly impoverished. God wants to bless you, and the devil wants to steal from you. God wants you to be rich in spiritual wealth, and the devil wants you just barely hanging on by a thread. And so I want you to know, strife and discord will leave you with negative economic impact. Do you know what I have been told? I have been told that the number one way to devastate your financial balance sheet is to get a divorce. People say, oh, you know, I've literally had somebody tell me this. This was in another state, so I'm not talking about anybody locally. It was a long time ago. But they decided that they were going to divorce their spouse, and so we had some input into their life. My wife and I tried to minister to them and say, you know, how can you do this? Don't you realize? Do you realize what you are doing to your kids? And this person responded and said, I want to teach my kids you don't have to be miserable, you don't have to be trapped in a miserable marriage. And so this person threw a divorce celebration, a divorce party. And I want you to know that the exact opposite of the lie that that person believed was the truth. It wasn't a way to financial gain. It was a way to financial devastation. They were going to be impoverished financially. They were going to be impoverished relationally. They were not going to be getting away from any of their problems. They were going to be creating new ones. This was not a divorce based on infidelity or unfaithfulness, none of the scriptural principles. It was just a person that had believed a lie that I'm just unhappy. And so the divorce in the marriage ended. There was strife and discord there with the kids after that. There was devastation. They were ended up in even a more impoverished situation than they were before. But I've got good news for you, and that is this. That in the midst of all of this contentiousness that was going on, verse 6 says, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Today, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to do this. Do not go into that voting booth until you have cried out to the Lord. In fact, whatever we're going through, let's make sure that we're not coming to the Lord simply on a reactionary basis, but let's come to the Lord in a relational basis, say, Heavenly Father, you know better than I do. You are wiser than I am. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And God, I need to hear from heaven. Now, if you are under attack, don't wait until you get out from under it. Cry out to God and say, God, there has been strife and discord that has come against me. And God, right now, I am going to cry out to you because you and you alone are the one who can bring about the victory in this situation. Naturally gifted people are susceptible to their nature, their carnal nature, warring against the Spirit. And we don't want to be fighting against the Spirit of God. We want to be blessing the household of faith, not contending with it. You know, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, Jesus said, you know, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know what? I don't go up and punch people in the face that I love. I go up and I hug them. I build them up. I encourage them. And I encourage you. Let's be about being people of unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And let's do our war against the kingdom of darkness and plunder that thing for the glory of God. Amen. Father, I pray today, God, that if there are any that are listening to this program and they are under attack, God, maybe their marriage is under attack, I pray, God, that you would bring victory right now, that you would bring unexpected peace in Jesus' name. Lord, that the enemy would be sent into retreat to the glory of God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.